Praise God.
Before I start, I want to thank Pastor Rick and lovely wife Faith for giving me this privilege today to speak here. Last week, I was in Connecticut, and we had a wonderful time. I haven't been there for a year, preaching there for a year. And we let that church go, Grace Fellowship. We started that church over 30 years ago. And I just thought it was time to relax a little bit and do other things God has called us to do. And the church is doing very well. The pastor we left there, we had four pastors there, three pastors. I'm the fourth one. And so they're doing a great job. The church has grown. It's a wonderful thing to see the children you raised up in the Lord doing well. And they've been with us for over 25 years. And one of our pastors, and it's a great, wonderful feeling that when you see those kind of things. You want to sing a song, babe? I was trying to convince her to try to do the other song. She had two songs in mind. She only did one. I want to just quickly just go maybe tell you a little bit about myself and my wife. Sharon and I, we have been pastoring for a long time, 35 years plus. I was an evangelist a couple years prior to that, and saved for quite a while, and did a lot of mission work in India, Mexico, and Philippines. I still have contact with friends in Philippines, but they did not want to dissolve that relationship and let the other pastors to take over that ministry. We have eight churches over in the Philippines. And they're doing wonderful. It's a phenomenal thing that I talk to them probably once or twice a week. And it's a phenomenal blessing when someone from a third world country who needs help take care of you. They take care of me. They treat me very well. And it's one of those things that kind of one of them oxymorons, you know what I'm saying? And I don't contemplate or even comprehended those things because we have done a lot of ministry all my life, over 40 years, trying to do mission work in China, Africa, South America, you name it. We have done many things to the things of God that God has called us to. And last Sunday, I preached on a sermon on Psalm 107, those of you who would like to look at it. There's five different places that talks about that we should praise the Lord about his goodness. And the sections in there talks about all the different things that we go through in life. When we're at the end of our ropes, we're at the last strand, so to speak, and we are in a desperate situation, we cry out on God, and God answers and responds, and he brings deliverance and healing and sets the captives free. So that psalm in itself talks about that we should praise God. And as many other scriptures, whole psalm is about praising God. And everything that has breath in Psalm 150 talks about it. And I should praise the Lord. And it's one of the fundamental things as Christians. And I share a little bit about why it's so difficult, complicating to praise God. And it is whether we are preoccupied, sometimes we intentionally, unintentionally, we slip those things and we forget about praise and worship of God. And the reason why I preach that sermon, because that's the only thing that we really have that's ours. Everything else has been given to you, whether you know it or not. Your life is woven in secret, the Bible says. Every hair on your head is numbered. Even Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you in your mother's womb. Okay, called you and ordained you as a prophet. And it's everything in the Bible that God has given you and I. He has given us beautiful life. The air you breathe is his. Food you eat is his. Talents you have belongs to God. There's nothing that you and I could give to God to merit one iota except your praise. Praise is your decision, is an action of the will. You choose to praise God. Yes. And I'm telling you, there's nothing beyond it. Praise is not only God inhabits it, but it's a power of God. Power of God is released on your behalf when you praise God. God comes to your rescue. All you got to do is read Exodus 17 when Moses, right after the issue of the Amalekites, he went up to the mount to praise God. You look at the concern about Jericho when the priests were walking around praising God. Okay, the walls came down. One of the things that people don't know, the walls came down It did not tumble down because all the people would have died. Actually, it fell straight through. Actually, archaeologists found the walls of Jericho straight through. The walls are still intact. Okay, those of you, that's a little tidbit. Those of you who's interested in those kind of things. Today's sermon that I have 45 minutes. 40 minutes.
Or as long as you want.
I will preach on something that is related to 4th of July a little bit. And I entitled the sermon, "If You Do Not Bow, God Will Exalt You." Okay, reason why I made that statement is because today, you know, last several years we've gone through a lot. And I appreciate what Don was saying about masks. And I had nothing but problems from people in our church who work for the government, medical professions, you name it, and we would not close our church. The church was open, and even we had only 10 people there, the CDC guidelines, we still had service. We had never had closed a church ever all my life as a pastor. And whether it's a snowstorm or not, people walked to church. We had 300 people, we still had service, and it was what God wanted us to do, and it was a wonderful time. So today's sermon is on Daniel chapter 3. Can I have that bottle of water? Can you get... Well, I did bring it. I'm sorry. See, I'm way behind myself here. Excuse me 1 minute. The reason why I got pink bottles is my wife's, because she broke mine. Not that I have anything against pink. Now, this Daniel chapter 3 is a lengthy portion of Scripture. Would you want me to read this, or I was just going to paraphrase it this morning? If you don't mind, I'd rather paraphrase it, spend the time on the sermon, if you don't mind. Okay, you can read it at leisure. I'll just go over the story a little bit. Those of you who know the book of Daniel, the whole book is on the book of prophecy. And it's a phenomenal book. Chapter 2, where, you know, it starts off with the dream, Nebuchadnezzar having a dream about the statue of gold and, you know, silver and bronze and steel and Mari mix of the toes and whatnot. Now, I don't know whether he came up the idea of this statue because of that dream in the past, but most commentators, scholars say he did. And if you look at concern about chapter 3, he sets up this statue. Okay, if you take a look at that statue, it's not just a little statue. It was 6 cubits wide by men, you know, 60 cubits high. It's the number 666 goes into that very figure. And if you look at Daniel 3, it's a parallel of what's going to happen at the end time. Chapter 17 and 18 at the end time, and about the end time where the Antichrist is going to set up a statue, is going to cause men and women to worship it. The exact parallel, this and the end times. And those of you, whether you're students of the word or not, I think we have to agree, life has changed. Things have changed. And I am not a doomsday preacher, but I'm a realistic preacher, and I want you to get close to God. My ambition, my desire has always been get people to get close to God. That's it, straight. Okay, when you're close to life, because in him is life, and the life is the light of men, right? John 1:4, it says that. We know that when we get close to life, that life rubs off. When you get close to somebody, their habits and their being rub off on you. So I'd rather have you get close to God, have what he has to rub off on you, instead of people who, amen, you don't want to be like. Is that okay? And today, so if you look at that portion, he sets up a statue and he makes a decree that everybody, you know, this is why it's a problem when you are in a professional field, especially back in the time of the COVID issue, that they were the first ones, they were commanded to be vaccinated and everything else, and everyone have to follow suit, because unless they didn't, they would lose their jobs. And many people chose to not to get vaccinated and to lose their jobs. And whatever your status is, that's your prerogative. That's your man's own decision. I'm not here to tell you one way or the other. But the bottom line is that these people were the first one called, and all the other men, people of his kingdom, were commanded to come and to worship this statue. And when the music was playing, all kinds of music was playing. If you look at the scenario, not only he makes it pleasant, awesome, a glorious event to worship this statue, to promote him, he's the one who says he has created this great Babylon. Have I not, men, made this great Babylon? His statement was, Nebuchadnezzar. And you look at the Jews, whether we understand about the story here, that only three Jews were there, kind of put into this text. We understand there's other Jews involved, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was there, and Daniel was not present. If you like to do Bible prophecy and the teachings, whatnot, it's a similarity of the end time when Daniel's not there. It's like the church being raptured up, and the three symbolically represents the remaining people of this earth. Is that all right? Are you okay with that? So from that thought, the scripture goes on, and it says that there was people there who are rulers. Obviously, they were jealous, because you look at a Persian empire, Babylonian empire, and they were jealous people who were ruling in that class. They were jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, no doubt as Daniel as well. And they're watching them. And if you study this through, saying that they made a covenant with God that they will not defile themselves, they were in a heathen land. They were made and forced to do things they didn't want to do, but they chose not to violate the things of God. Now, that's a startling thing, because I have encountered many, many people in our ministry and times as Christians. People compromise left and right. We compromise of everything on the planet, really. What fits us, what suits us, what we like or don't like. It's an unfortunate thing, and I believe God is the supreme. We're going to meet God one day. We are going to meet God. This is why this one person I fear is God. Not because he's not loved, but I know what he could do. Don't misunderstand me today. I love God. God loves us today. But the reality is, God is an awesome God. And when the time of the end comes, one third of the world's going to die. And it's not because a man, angelic or satanic involvement, it's God himself. Let's be realistic tonight. And this is what it is, the sermon text tonight. If you do not bow, God will exalt you. Okay? Just like the COVID times, it's only a test. I want you to know. That was a run-through of this, amen, sir, this, whatever you want to call it today. But that was a test of the world, if people would be like sheep and follow along. Okay, there's greater things that's being devised, man, to control the world's population. Many, many people are involved in it. Not just a few people that you and I think, this is, no, a lot of people, not only pharmaceutical, not only the governments, but people, individuals that's involved in, amen, trying to unseat where you are in your life. As a Christian, as life, amen, that is pleasant to live, to enjoy, I want you to know there is, amen, plans to unravel all that's happening in this world. If you don't believe what I'm saying, do a little research, non-biased research. Read everything and listen to everything you can. Okay, are you all right with that? Yeah. I know Rick's not here, so I'm preaching today. Amen. Praise God. So the story goes that these Babylonian rulers saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when the music was playing. They were commanded everybody fall down to worship the statue. They did not worship the statue, so they reported to the king, because the king made a decree, anybody who does not worship the statue will be immediately thrown into the furnace and burned alive. Now, you're talking about cruelty and being barbaric, men, but I do want you to know, he's not the only one in history who's been barbaric. Countless numbers of people throughout history. Man has butchered, slaughtered, killed. Man, people who go to war and killing human beings. It is an outrage to me. Man, it's a cry of the heart when I hear about the barbaric nature of humanity. Maybe you think it's part of life, and part, but it's not. It's not God's life. It's not God's way. God is always about peace and love. That's why I'm here in this church, because Rick always talks about love. I don't agree with all the things all the time, because amen, but I do want you to know there's one person that I have never met except this guy, Rick, pastor of this church, who talks about love. He genuinely means what he says. It's a rarity today. A lot of people talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Are you okay? So here it is. They were questioned, okay? All right? And they were not worshiping and called in front of Nebuchadnezzar. Can you imagine this guy? He's trying to show him the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, a little bit of forbearance. Calls him in. He's got a smile on his face. Okay, now, guys, if you just worship the statue, everything is going to be okay. Whether remembering what they have done in the last chapter or not, we don't know. It's a speculation. But here's a story, and the discussion takes place. He's saying, O king, we will not worship your statue. We will not bow down. If you will not bow down, God will exalt you. It's only God we bow down to. God is the one, only one that's worthy. Amen. So here they are. And it says that, amen, he gave them a chance, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego defied the king. Amen. He defied the forbearance of the king. And immediately, says Nebuchadnezzar, his visage have changed. His visible countenance change. You ever see people go like this? They change. All of a sudden, they're nice, but as soon as you say things they don't like, oh my goodness. Man, the demons are real. Hello? I'll make one statement. Christians cannot be demon-possessed, but we can be demon-influenced. Is that all right? So here it is. His vicious change, and he commands them, the strongest soldiers, to grab Shadrach, Meshach. And listen, the command was so urgent, they threw them in the fire, tied up, man, with all their clothes on, and they heated the furnace up seven times hotter. Seven, reason why it's in this, mean maximum, or the highest potential. Amen. We know that's a perfect number of God. Means, man, to maximally heat that furnace until it can't get any hotter. They threw them in. These soldiers throws them into the, man, there's a covering on the top of the, you want to call it the big furnace they burn people in, and all the king and, you want to call it a potentate of the time, they're far away from him. There's probably a big glass or opening from the side of the furnace. They're watching them burn. Public execution. Hello? Yeah. You talking about insanity? That's insane. But there's reasons why people do that, I guess. I don't know. I haven't done that in a while. I've grilled people quite a bit. Grill burgers and whatnot. 4th of July is coming. But it says that the story goes, they throw them in, the soldiers that threw them in, they die because of how intense the fire was. And here's the king, man, all the potentates are out there watching this happen. And I want to start the sermon from right over there. Is that okay? All right. You and I will go through many difficulties in life. I don't care, it's personal, family, job, health-wise, society, government, many, many difficulties in life. I know some of it can be satanic in origin, but in reality, is most of the problems is to destroy your faith. It's to undermine your confidence in God. But I want to ask you, don't give up. Don't bow the knee. We do know that God has created all things, Hebrews 1:3, without quoting all the scripture, by his divine power of his word, he brought the world you and I know into existence. And as I skip half of that text, and you and I know this today because I want you to understand the scripture I'm talking to you today in Daniel 3, in the Bible, Revelation 17 and 18, there's a comparison, there's a parallel there. And I want you to understand that also that the church of Jesus Christ, we are the restraining power, that whole satanic, you want to call it, power at bay. God has ordained, even Satan himself has to get permission from God to do anything against you and I. I do want you to know that today. It's a fact. All you got to do is read Job chapter 1 and 2. It tells you right there, he has to get permission from God to do anything. That's how come it's important for us to get close to God, to love God. Here's Revelation 13, as you go into that, is a type of the statue, same thing is found in Daniel chapter 3. It's been an important thing that we grasp in society today that mankind from millennia have tried to unite the government, religion, together forever. It is still in motion today. Why the world wants to become one world, amen, one world government. You and I know there's a movement to unite the world, nations without borders and everything else. And it's important to understand this because not only did Nebuchadnezzar cause people to worship that statue, but you and I know coming to the end time, the Antichrist is going to set up a statue. It's going to cause everyone who is living in this planet to worship that statue. And it's a remarkable thing. And it says that the Bible talks about the 144, talks about the three Jews, men. And it's something that we need to understand. This is a typology in the Bible, reference in the Bible, that about the rapture and the people that is on this planet, that God is sealing the 144,000 as God protects us, the three Jews. And it's a phenomenal thing as a picture is during the tribulation of Israel after the rapture takes place. I'm trying to go through this a little quickly this morning. What is happening today? Has anybody gone into how the world, chromosome 23, ancestry.com, how many ever understand about that stuff, right? So if you look at that, so the world is trying to not only be united together, but they want to categorize every individual. Man, if you look at concern about when the Twin Towers went down, President Bush, man, he what? He instituted the Patriot Act. That means he has a right to spy on you. American citizens. It's true. Okay? All you got to do is look at these things, amen, global surveillance, amen. You just went through time of quarantine when they say you can't even leave your house. I hope that you didn't obey all of those rules and guidelines because, you know, it was not a law that was passed. It was a suggestion. But I do want you to know there's multitudes of people who obey those rules and guidelines. Amazing to me. Amen. We are living in an uncertain time today. Uncertainties of the world. Man, it should be not focused on the problems of life or problems of the world. We should be focusing on serving God. Because as a time gets worse, as situation becomes, amen, scary to you and I, we should draw closer to God. But I do know that's not always the answer. When things are sometimes difficult, man, it's hard. People get drawn away from God instead of you should be drawing towards God. Men, it's amazing as this story plays out, men, that the Jews were targeted. Now, I know that this is not something maybe that we always grasp whatnot, but anti-Semitism is not something that's new. It's been going on ever since, man, the inception of the Jewish people. They always had concern about, man, people who hated them used that scenario to persecute, to murder multitudes of Jewish people. Now, I do know some of that comes in line with God's judgment from, man, his wrath towards Israel, because Israel is not serving God. And one of the things about Israel is that Israel was a nation because God has ordained Israel to be the light of the world. And the world should be blessed through the people of Israel. And they did not fulfill it, but they fulfilled their own righteousness. They thought they were special people. They thought they were the unique people. They were the only people. But God wanted to use the Jews to be a blessing to the world. And they did not do that. That's why the church is here today. And you and I understand, men, that God's desire for you and I, men, is to not to bow the knee. Persecution is real. Whether it's persecution of the Jews, persecution of a nation, persecution of black people, persecution of any ethnicity today is real today. But I want you to know the persecution of the church is coming. The judgment starts in the house of God. We know the scripture, and we know the reality as the end time, Satan is targeting the church. Amen. Where would the people, the fence walkers, be? Where would people who don't know the things of God be when those things happen? When many multitudes of people buckle because of this pandemic just took place. Persecution is coming. Look what it says in 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. In 1:7 it says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried in fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now I'm a faith preacher. I always believed in God honors my faith. And I still believe that. I am still a faith preacher. But the ultimate thing is God. God is a sovereign. I don't make the decisions for God. I carry out the decisions of God. I don't speak God's word and saying these are mine. I understand there's a parallel to that, but it's God's word. God is the ultimate ruler of heaven and earth, the creator of all things. We are, amen, servants of God. We are servants of God. The interesting thing when you study about heaven, everybody wants to go to heaven, but we don't really know what happens in heaven. We're going to be worshiping God. You're going to be worshiping God to a place where you are so grateful, amazed what God has done for you. Amen. There's nothing else matter except you falling down and worshiping God. Today, we have many requests and many things. We command this. And I know there's multitudes of books, and people talk about all these things. Charles Capps, amen, Hagen, Copeland, and all these people. I went to school. Man, teachers talking about all this. And I understand it. I understand where we are, man, representative of God. And we speak those things in authoritatively. And in faith and believing God's going to do what he says in his word. It's true, but the persecution, amen, is real. Just like the Jews, it is real. If you understand about the world today, the motion, they don't like Christians. We talk about love in this church, but in reality, it's not everybody loves you. They didn't kill Jesus because they loved him. They didn't kill the apostles. Anybody read the book called Fox's Book of Martyrs? You should read it. 60 million people died in that book. Not six. 60 million people. In the name of God, they killed people. Hello? Persecution is coming. Amazing thing about these three Jews, they did not go with the crowd. I'm asking, let's not go with the crowd. Go with God. With God is always a majority. I don't care if 10 billion people around you, with God is a majority. I've always asked people to get close to God. Because persecution, whether it's from your workplace, your family, doesn't matter, society. You know, I had four young boys, and here I am. I'm at work at UTC, Sikorsky Aircraft. Week before Christmas, I get thrown out of work. I come into work. I was a welder. I welded for 10 years prior to going out to ministry. I wanted the church to be big enough to support us before I quit and went to full-time ministry. So the church was about 70, 80 people in the church at that time. And we were not quite making it at, per se. And they threw me out of work. Indefinite suspension. I'm wondering, what the heck did I do? But all I did was preach there, tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Everybody that came around, everybody I encountered. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience, the power of God moving in people's lives. I had a guy call me 5 years after I left that workplace. He called me 5 years after. He says, I had a dream. God told me to call you. What must I do? Need to be saved. Not that just one. Multitudes of those experiences happen because I've been faithful to God, God's calling. God's calling is not because of ministry. God's calling, God calls you to himself. Let me correct that. Not about what your ministry is. God calls you to himself. Jesse, my son Jesse, what did I do? It's not about his ministry. This, I'm calling him to myself. Pay attention to me. Come to me. That's what God does. Then he sorts out the ministry, what you're good at, what you want to do, what you desire. Then he lets you sort that through in your life. Okay? But let me just say this. Don't ever stop what you're doing, because you're content with what you're doing. Seek always the God's best. Seek God to all your heart. Then he will be found. The three Jews, here it is, persecution. And I was saying about when I was thrown out of work, I said to my wife, I come home, this is a week before Christmas now, Sikorsky has 7 days off at Christmas time until New Year's. So I was not working for the week, and I lost out 7 days' pay from work. I have four boys, mortgage, bills like everybody else. And I said to my wife, I got thrown out of work. And she said, what do you mean? I said, just leave me alone for a while. I'm going to get before God. I fasted for 3 days. I did not drink or eat for 3 days. That's what I used to do when I fast. I fasted for 21 days. And it's the maximum I ever fasted. But usually 3-day fast was a routine fast. So I fasted. I go to my father's house at Christmas. He says, invite us over for Christmas dinner, Christmas Eve dinner. He says, how's work, Jim? It's not going too good. So I was thrown out of work. He says, what? So I told him my story, what happened. When I came into work, my boss and another boss was there collaborating. And they called me up. The security came. They walked me out. I told him the story. He says, then he said, oh, okay. He didn't really make nothing of it. He calls somebody up, and he says, Jim, go back to work Monday. Go back to work. They told me not to come back to work. No, let's go back to work. So I go back to work. And the guard headquarters, they go down, the guard headquarters, they call the boss up, and boss says, no, he's not supposed to be here. I said, they told me to show up. I showed up. I'm here. So they finally allowed me to go in there. Some phone calls, whatever. There's a foreman. I don't know. There's another boss over him. And the vice president. You know how the ranks go. So I'll make the long story short. So I'm sitting in my welding booth. I was a welder. And I look up, and this guy walks in there. And I haven't seen him in a long time. Because he used to come to my father's house and at the Christmas time at parties and whatnot. And so he comes into my, he talks to the foremans a little bit. And the general foreman was there. He comes into my booth, welding booth, and sits down, puts his arm around me. I said, "Oh, Mr. Vianney, good to see you. You know, I haven't seen you in a long time, da, da, da." I didn't even know he worked there. No idea. And he said, "How's it going, Jim?" He says, "Well, it's going good now. And come to find out, he's the vice president. And he told those guys, so-and-so, whatever, you know what he probably said to them. I don't want to make the long story any longer, but the foreman who set me up, he got ousted because he was on a company time out there, and I'm talking about God is so good. He got fired. Hello. Reason why I'm saying that, even though you are persecuted, things happen in our life. Let me tell you, do you believe in God today? If you believe in God, He is sovereign, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. That means He's in control of everything. He knows everything. He knows the very hair on your head. How many hairs on your head? Anybody know? There's 120,000 hair follicles on your head. If you're an average head, if you're a smaller head, it's obviously lesser hair. If you got a bigger head, obviously more hair. He knows you. He knows everything about you. If we know that God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent today, there's nothing you have to worry about. All you need to do is go to God and tell Him the situation and praise Him for the answer. He will take care of it. I'm going to guarantee you. Because the persecution will come. But I want you to know God is using issues in our life, society, to pull out His children, His beloved. You know, I don't care what you think. Just because you go in the chicken coop, okay, put feathers all over you, going cluck, 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 that does not make you a chicken. Just because you go to a church, sit in church, and every once in a while, look up, praise the Lord, does not make you a Christian. Is that okay? Don't get mad at me, because I want you to know, this might be the only time I ever be preaching. Because obviously Rick's going to listen to this. But I'm going to tell a story. Let me just tell you a story. There was a group of frogs running through the woods. You probably heard it. Just bear with me. And these groups of frogs are jumping. You know how they jump. They're walking through the woods. And two fall into the pit. Man, the other frogs, they come around the hole. They're looking at the frogs down there. They're jumping. Big hole. They're jumping and jumping and jumping. And the frogs on top looking down and says, "Man, give up. Give up. Just roll over and die. It's a deep hole. You're never going to get out of there. You're never going to get out of there." Hello? So after a while, they jump in and jump in. One of them takes heed. He rolls over and he dies. And the other one, he just keeps on jumping. And they're leaning down. "Hey, give up. Roll over and die." And that one, he's jumping higher and higher and higher. Finally, he jumped so high, he jumped right out of there. And he says to the frogs, he says, "Guys, I am so glad you encouraged me so much I was able to jump out of that." The frog was deaf. Sometimes you have to have a deaf ear for the nonsense around you. There's a lot of chatter out there. But I choose to hear God. What Don was saying, hearing God, there's many things in the Bible about hearing God. But Matthew 7 is one of my favorites. 24 to 27 talks about, if you hear my voice, amen, and does them, I liken to a wise man to build his house upon the rock. Amen. I want to be one of those. God says, Jim, I've been waiting for you for a long time. Come and sit down. Talk with me for a while. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You and I expecting those things. But I want you to know the persecution is coming. But I want you to know also is what God uses to strengthen your faith, to help your life in this planet, amen, to overcome all things. All you got to do is read 1 John 5:4, talking about, amen, how do you come over the world, the flesh, amen? What? It's your faith. Faith in God. Faith in God. God will preserve you and I. Amen. Because the scripture says, amen, I'll never change. I'll never forsake you. Hebrews 13 talks about, amen, I will, what? I am same yesterday and today and forever. You and I know this. I never change. Amen. He says, what? I will never leave you, forsake you. I'll be with you to the ends of this age. Ends of this age. It's one of the things you and I say to God, he's my friend. But it's another thing when God says, you're my friend. We have a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances out there. But it's different when the person says, you are truly my friend. That's a unique thing what Jesus did with the disciples. It's one of them heart drives of many preachers and many Christians today want to be the friend of God. It's a reward. God will bless you, reward you. Amen. Amen. Look what it says in Isaiah 43, 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And though through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God is the promoter. He'll promote you. He'll bless you, elevate you. Amen. In life, we seek after too many accolades in life. Too many, amen, pats on the back from people who are somebody. Seen many miracles. I've seen countless miracles in Christian walk with God. It blows my mind. What my sister was saying about people who are not a pastor or whatever, I saw more miracles not pastoring than actually pastoring. Don't you ever think that God will not move in your life. Dare to step out and pray. Amen. Expect God to move on your behalf. God will promote you. Amen. See, the thing is, we think about difficult times as causing a problem to undo our life, to cause our faith to be, amen, overwhelmed, amen, drag us to the pit. But it's not. It's the only thing that God has, amen, as a tool to help you and I to grow. Hello. You know, everybody wants to see miracles, but nobody wants to see any problems. How can God move when everything is hunky-dory? When everything's easy street, oh, man, I'm healthy as an ox, man. I have all the money in the bank. Look at the car I'm driving. Man, look at the food. You don't need God. That's when we praise God. Yes, it's true. We glorify God, thank him. But miracles happen when you are at the end of your rope. That's where God begins. Right there, there's a little thing right there. What does this say? You exercise faith, right? It's impossible to please God, Hebrews 6, 11, 6 says. Faith is something, is your lifestyle. You believe God. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Men, faith is something that you make up your mind now. But I want you to know what you're looking for when you exercise your faith. It takes time and duration to God to manifest that miracle into your life. Sometimes instantaneous. Sometimes takes a little time. But don't give up. Don't back off. Because God uses situations in life, amen, to promote you, amen, to elevate you. When prayers are answered, miracles happen, amen, causes something happen in your heart. It is unbelievable. People see it around you. They see, amen, man, God answered your prayer. Wow, God did a miracle through you. It's not just excitement, it's not just hype, it's God doing His work and changing you and I into the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. The blessing of God. We understand that this rebellion against God is not only Nebuchadnezzar happened in the time of Nimrod. It's going to happen in the times, history, in the past. Amen. All you got to do is just research history. Countless numbers of men who thought they were above mankind and their God themselves. Men. Not only did they rebel against God, they united the political realm, religious realm, to cause that men to happen against God. See, even today, men, these three Jews, as we look into the scripture, they are being accused. That word accusation is a very unique word. It's translated denounced, to tear in pieces, rent limbs, eat the flesh. The accusation was so severe, it was intended to destroy them. There's people that's around you, that work with you, that whatever you're familiar with, they're not just saying a little words because they dislike you. They really want to see your life destroyed. You might say, well, I don't have that kind of problem. Well, let me tell you something. You have not encountered too many people. You know what oikos is? It's your surrounding. 200 people in your oikos. It's the people that you encounter in life, do business with, that you go to grocery store, gas station. 200 people right around your familiarity. That's a lot of people. You might say, well, we live in Vermont. Jim, we live in Vermont. Maybe there's 50 people here. But even 50 people is a lot. But I'm saying, amen, those people, when they say things against you, man, they have said things against, amen, these Jews, the Jewish people. And here's Nebuchadnezzar, man, who is fit to be tied, want to destroy them, men. And you and I know it is clear that he wanted to exercise authority. Please bear in mind, I will wind down over here. As King Nebuchadnezzar watching them burn, that's what he was hoping for. He was hoping for watching them burn alive and screaming for mercy and screaming. Do we agree? The furnace is an amazing contraption. And I have no idea how this could be, how people could watch the suffering of humanity. But that's barbaric in itself, that's satanic in itself, and it is not right. The king comes closer to the furnace, and he sees the three. Instead of being dead, they're walking around. Come on, they're walking around, and he calls them and says, the servants of the Most High God. Before, you can imagine before, that Nebuchadnezzar didn't even understand about God, Yahweh. All he understood about the heathen God and heathen deity. But here he recognized, you servants of the Most High God. Reason why I want to just spend the time was when God is moving in your life. See, we are just people. We haven't changed. Just because you're born again, that doesn't mean you are a different person. We understand 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things become new. We understand that. But in reality, we are the same people. You're looking at the same gym I was 40 years ago. Hello. Amen. The inside work that God transforms the inside to out. That's why the glory from the inside, amen, transcends through this flesh. Amen. That's what Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. You and I know that, but Satan does the other way. He transforms himself as an angel of light. He hides his inner reality, amen, shows you what is not. And people are like that in the world. They want to show you their best side. Hello. But here it is. This man changes his tune from the God of the heathen deities, elevate himself as God, and says, "The God, your servants are the Most High God." I can't even fathom that. Amen. Man, I can't even comprehend. He has just changed that thought. Man, and the evidence is presented to you and I to, here's Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was a servant of the Most High God because he saw somebody else in there in the oven. He walks up into that place and sees, amen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with a fourth man. Man, that's in that oven, who appear to look like the son of the Most High God. Do you know him today? Do you know him? Just give me a couple more minutes, I'll be done. Do you know him? Who is that fourth man walking in the furnace? Man holding back the fire. The God who is faster than the speed of light, transcends space and time. Amen. He comes into that furnace as they're being thrown into that fiery furnace, right in his arms. And he tells that fire, "Do not burn them, neither the smell of the fire shall be on their clothes." It's amazing. Amen. "You shall not burn their bodies, neither the smell of smoke shall be on their clothes." Can you fathom that? Here is God. They chose to stand with God, and God exalts them. Amen. In the midst of the heathen king, changes whole concept of the king's mind and transforms that nation by this one event because they chose not to bow the knee. I'm asking you, times will come in your life. You're going to compromise, bow the knee. I'm asking, do not bow the knee. Choose to stand with God. Choose to stand with God. Do you know the fourth man? Do you know the fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In Genesis, he is the seed of the woman. Exodus, Passover lamb. The Numbers, a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. Deuteronomy, the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, the captain of our salvation. Judges, the lawgiver. Ruth, our kinsman redeemer. 1 and 2 Samuel, our trusted prophet and reigning king. Ezra, our faithful scribe. Nehemiah, the rebuilder of broken down walls of human life. Esther, our Mordecai. Job, our dayspring on high. Our Redeemer liveth. Who is that fourth man? Do you know him today? In Psalms, he's the Lord, our shepherd. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. Song of Solomon, he is the lover of the bridegroom. Isaiah, the prince of peace. Jeremiah, the righteous branch. Lamentation, he's the weeping prophet. Ezekiel, the wonderful four-faced man. Daniel, the fourth man in the fiery furnace. Do you know him today? Who is that fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. He in Hosea, he is the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. Joel, he is the baptized, the Holy Ghost in fire. Amos, burden bearer. Obadiah, he is the mighty to save. Jonah, our great foreign missionary. Micah, messenger of beautiful feet. Nahum, avenger of God's elect. Habakkuk, God's evangelist. Zephaniah, savior. Haggai, restorer of God's lost heritage. Zechariah, the fountain opened up the house of David for sin and uncleanness. Malachi, the son of righteousness, rising with a healing in his wings. Do you know him today? Who is that fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In Matthew, he's the Messiah. Mark, he is the wonder worker. Luke, the son of man. John, the son of God. Acts, our Holy Ghost. Romans, our justifier. 1 and 2 Corinthians, our sanctifier. Galatians, our redeemer from the curse of the law. Ephesians, Christ, the unsearchable riches. Philippians, God who supplies all our needs. Colossians, the fullness of Godhead bodily. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, our soon coming king. 1 and 2 Timothy, our mediator between God and man. Titus, our pastor, friend. that stick are closer than a brother. Hebrews, the blood of the everlasting covenant. James, the great physician. 1 and 2 Peter, chief shepherd who will appear with crown with unfailing glory. 1 and 2 3 John, he is love. Jude, Lord, who comes with 10,000 saints. Revelation, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you know him? Do you know him today? I'll tell you who he is. He is Abel's sacrifice, Noah's rainbow, Abraham's ram, Isaac's well, Jacob's ladder, Issachar's burden, Judah's scepter, Balaam's Shiloh, Moses' rod, Elijah's mantle, Elisha's staff, Gideon's fleece, Samuel's horn of oil, David's slingshot, Isaiah's fig, Hezekiah's sundial, Peter's shadow, Paul's handkerchief and apron, Stephen's signs and wonders, John's pearly gates. Do you know him? Who is that fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. He is the husband to the widow, father to the orphans, the bright in the morning star, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the sap of life, the honey in the rock. Who is that fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. The rock in a weary land, the pearl of great price, the everlasting father whose government of our life is on his shoulder. Who is the fourth man? I'll tell you, he is Jesus of Nazareth, son of the living God. And man, they put the three Hebrews into that oven, the fiery furnace to destroy them. But God, who is faster than speed of light, transcends speed, amen, space and time, he was waiting for them, rescues them. God will do the same for you. Don't ever think God doesn't love you or don't care about you. He is constantly seeking, would you let me just behold you? Would you let me love you, protect you, bless you, heal you, restore you, strengthen you? This is the God that we serve. Times will come when you say, this is really hard, really difficult. But, you know, think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They considered their life not quite as important than the will of God. He says, God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if God chooses not to, we will not serve your statue. If you will not bow the knee, God will promote you, bless you, rescue you today. God bless you.